Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
You know what I'm doing right now?
What?
Here, let's see if the mic catches it. Let's not try to catch anything on fire.
Oh, lighting a match.
I'm lighting a match to light a candle because I forgot I keep this candle mask. Oh my God, it's about to burn my finger. Oh my gosh. Go. Whoa. What is going on? Like the wick.
Smoke filling the entire video screen right now.
I'm like about to set me on fire. This candle has not been lit, in fairness, since like last winter. And so some vendor sent me this last year and I keep it in my office and it smells delicious. It's called The Library.
Yeah. Now you need to like dim the lights in the room.
I'm getting my hygge on is my point. That was what we talked about last week. And I also, hold on. This thing is not, this wick is like, it's gotta be, it's just being very temperamental here. And it's going to again, cause I'm using an old school match, not a, oh my gosh. This is why Flick of Flames exist. Okay, it lit that time. Look at that.
Oh,
got
nice.
Hey, got this whole thing's about to burn up. Hold on. Let me turn the lights off.
Oh, so pleasant.
There really is a hygge vibe in here. Yeah. I got my candle. It smells nice. The other day I was at Sam's Club. I would like to go on the record stating I made a reference in our hygge episode that, you know, about like soft blankets and they're not super expensive to pick up some new ones if you don't have any. And I was like, but we have plenty. We don't need any more blankets in our house.
Did you buy another one?
I bought a blanket. In fairness, Kate had just gone through her very stressful week of this whole cyst being removed. So I'm like, when my kids are going through to, I like splurge a little more. And there was a very soft blanket that matched our newish couch that we bought last year.
Oh, then you had to get it.
And it was only $13.
It was like the
Members Mark brand. It was so soft. I was like, I actually even wanted it. And I have used the blanket already multiple times this week. And it has created happiness in my life my children's life. And my kids all love soft blankets. So like, it's like a little thing that makes everybody happy. So I was like, you know what? For $13, like this is the cost of little things I'm already buying here at Sam's. Okay.
So
we're not here to talk about hygge.
No, but this show is airing week of Thanksgiving, right?
It'll air the 21st. That's week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would like to take this opportunity to say that I am so thankful for you in my life and this podcast. It is such a treat to do this with you every week.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Mike. A little early Thanksgiving message for me. I would like to take this opportunity to say ditto, which is, I hope you appreciate the brevity there. And then I'll add to that. I am very thankful for our listeners and the community that we get through people that call in, send us texts and voicemails. Like I really enjoy the exchanges. Every now and then there's a really detailed exchange we're not able to engage with as much because it's like, I mean, it's like financial planning. Someone's just asking for like really detailed specificity that we just can't get into. But there's so many people we engage with that I just like, they send us the nicest notes about the impact we've had in their lives. And just that something that someone actually, I'll read something that someone posted yesterday. Cause I often like when I'm posting stories on Instagram, I legitimately, I'm very self-aware. I'm always wondering, does anybody give a crap? Like, who am I? You know, like, I think people appreciate hearing about just, I find it interesting to see what other people, like-minded people are up to on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes it's like an enjoyable thing. And so I always wonder, like, does anybody care? I was just DMing with just a bunch of people and we literally get like daily messages and it is, we appreciate people reaching out and we appreciate the community in general. But he was saying, really appreciate you sharing the ups and downs of retire early life, not really downs, but you know what I mean. And he said, I think you pulling, I think about pulling the retire early trigger on a monthly basis. It's funny. I used to think about it on an hourly basis. And he said, so getting your take is so helpful. You know, and he was saying, you know, hope your daughter mends up well. And I said, thanks so much. I sometimes wonder if anyone cares. And he said, the pod and Instagram account is so helpful. He said, the pod and the Instagram content is so helpful. And so is in all caps. We all experience seasons of life differently, but you being in a similar season to me, early 40s on a five path with kids, et cetera, makes everything so relatable. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And just, you know, notes like that. I just, you know, so just in the spirit of your Thanksgiving thankfulness that you started, was just going to add, we really do appreciate all of the engagement and interactions with listeners. So it really does make this enjoyable. So thank you. Thanks for starting the thank you sandwich, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay.
What are we talking about today, Maggie?
We are going to talk about a concept that I've heard about before. It's called the arrival fallacy. And we're going to talk about what it is and how it relates to money, you finding happiness, and just like general happiness in life. And we'll do a lot of tie-ins to money here, which is what we always try to do. But this concept, again, it's something I've heard about before, but just hadn't like thought about recently. And it actually was referenced in a book that I was just listening to, which is called The Pathless Path. It was not available at the library, sadly, but I used one of my Audible credits that I'm getting free from one of my credit card benefits right now. And so it was a really good book. Diana Merriam actually recommended it when I was posting about my general like ennui and malaise and feelings in early retirement, which we'll get into in this episode a little bit. And she recommended it as a good book. And it was a really, really great book at like the right point in my life. And she's actually referenced in the book too. So let's talk about what the arrival fallacy is. Have you like heard of this term? And I know you're familiar with the concept because it makes sense as you lay it out. But had you actually heard the term, Mike?
I had not heard the term. The concept I'm very familiar with.
Right. Yeah. Which I think everyone, again, yeah. Like,
I think it's we'll kind get into of it. Intuitive for anybody who's given any thought to the yeah. situation when they come across it.
Yeah. And once you think about it, you'll be like, yep, yeah, that makes sense. But someone, which we'll talk about, put a name on it and, you know, coined the phrase the arrival fallacy. So the concept is the arrival fallacy is the false assumption that once you reach a goal that you've been trying to reach, that you will experience lasting happiness. So the crux of this point is lasting or enduring, like long lasting happiness. So many people actually become less happy after doing or attaining something that they've been striving towards. And they were actually happier during the journey building up to it. And then once they got to the destination, they were like, well, I thought I was supposed to like arrive here and be happy all of a sudden. And back to the point of like somebody actually coined this term. So again, it logically, as we start to lay out some of these examples, will make sense to you, I think. But just for in terms of kind of where it came from, the term itself was created by Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. Hopefully I said that right. A Harvard-trained expert on positive psychology. So he says the arrival fallacy is the illusion of reaching a destination or goal and realizing that the achievement doesn't make you as happy as you thought it would. He then adds, while most people can predict what might make them happy, they usually misjudge the preconceived intensity and overall duration of said happiness. So it's back to that point of it's not that reaching some goal won't make you happy for a moment. It's that it won't create lasting happiness on its own.
Yeah, makes right? perfect sense.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Like when you're on this journey to some big, big, crazy goal like early retirement, which we'll get into, or just like a project launch at work or
trying a vacation, to have a special trip.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You believe at the end of it, you'll have an enduring level of happiness. Like I believe that with early retirement. We'll get into more with kind of, you know, that as an example. But the idea is, you know, once you arrive at this goal, the happiness doesn't last, right? And often they set another bigger goal and they're constantly kind of ratcheting up the goal because they believe they're like, oh, okay, well, that didn't work, but it's because I actually need a little bit more, right? And then I need a little bit more. And that's the fallacy part, right? Is that you can't, you're not going to just like arrive at happiness, at last, long lasting happiness, right? And actually the opposite can sometimes happen, right? Instead of arriving at happiness, long, you know, enduring happiness again, you think you're supposed to, and your expectation that you were supposed to be happy because you now did this thing, and we'll give some examples of the things, but actually makes you want to like mask your you're experiencing unhappiness. You thought you were going to experience happiness. You now want to mask it. And that actually, and then you want to keep ratcheting it up. And that is another term which I use all the time and very familiar with on escalation of commitment. The idea that, you know, once, how do you describe escalation of commitment? Or you want me to take a stab?
Escalation of commitment would be like doubling down your efforts. So if you think that getting promoted to a certain level and sacrificing some of your personal life is going to make you happy. If you get there and then it doesn't make you happy, you sacrifice more of your personal life to get to an even higher level. And you keep escalating that commitment. You keep doubling down and it doesn't give you the desired outcome.
Yeah. But like you said, you keep doubling down. And then, you know, again, it's like it's just this interesting cycle that's not a healthy cycle, which we'll get into on how you can recognize that cycle and then get out of it and stop yourself and recognize it. But they just often, people often mistake happiness with reaching an achievement, right? And the sort of nugget or like magical, I don't know if magical is the right word, but the big takeaway of what you should learn from the arrival fallacy is that happiness is a lifelong journey. It is not one achievement. It is not a destination. It's not a place that you will arrive at and then just stay at.
It's not a thing that you will purchase.
Yeah, right. Yeah, whole nother level of it. Yes. And the big aha is happiness is a journey, not a destination. Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll come back to that thought and get into it in more detail. But right now we have a word from our sponsors. Just kidding. We don't have any sponsors, but I gotta go turn my sourdough bread. I gotta give it a fold, which I have to do every 20 minutes.
All right, I'll just hang out.
So Mike's going to hang out. I'll be right back.
And now I think it's time for a little elevator music while we wait for Maggie to flip her sourdough.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep. Welcome back, Maggie.
Okay. When I walked back in the room, I forgot about the hygge I had created. I was like upstairs. It was like bright lights and I was just rushing around. And I walked back in the room and I was like, oh, it's like kind of dimly lit in here. It smells nice because of the candle. Just like, it's like I re-experienced the hygge again. Okay. So let's talk about some examples of arrival fallacy. And I'm going to share some personal examples to show the depth and breadth of some of the examples. So I'm gonna get into these personal examples, but you know, like we said, this can be when you finally land a big job, a promotion, you win some sporting championship that you've been working towards, you find yourself at a certain phase of life that you've always desired and been pushing towards. And so look, the most obvious and big example for me right now is early retirement, right? So I have been on this journey towards early retirement for a handful of years. And I'm now 6 months, almost exactly 6 months out of my previous world and into this early retirement transition I'm going through. And I've had some observations that are still evolving and I share them every now and then on the show, but you know, the process leading up to and the final act of like leaving my job, like making it real, telling someone, like all those times were triggering these dopamine hits of happiness in my brain, right? Like I almost...
And also terror, if I remember correctly.
And terror, right. That is very fair. A combination of complete terror and dopamine hits, which were oscillating on like a, you know... second basis, like I was gonna say on the minute, you know, on the hour, more like on the hour than the minute. But there's times where I'm like, I actually was like happier having that goal and working towards it and making these big and final steps towards it than I was in the immediate months after it. Well, I mean, take out like the Europe trip, because that was like being on, you know, a long vacation. That wasn't like real life. Well, it was, but you know what I mean? It was like a moment in time. It was not it was not me being back in my day-to-day life with the kids being in school and, you know, all this stuff. And so...
Wait, are you saying that the Europe trip that we met up on did not make you happy?
No. I was saying it did, is my point. I was like, that was a moment in time. Okay, good,
because I had a fantastic time.
We had a great time. That I was saying that was like being on vacation, and you can't compare day-to-day life to when you're on vacation and not having to deal with, you know, the realities of day-to-day life. It's just, I've had this... I've experienced it firsthand, right? And I'll get into more pieces of kind of how I'm feeling about early retirement and what I'm discovering and everything else as we go through some of the ways to combat this, because I've been doing them and they work. Early retirement is just like the best example I can give you of this huge goal you work towards, and then you achieve it and you're like, okay, it's not like I'm magically just happy every day. I still have the same behaviors and stresses and situations in my life where it's like, I have a good day, I have a bad day. Something comes up that's really stressful. Something's going on with the kids, just all sorts of stuff, right? That just because I don't have a job anymore and I hit early retirement, I'm not in a long-lasting, enduring state of happiness. What will create my happiness ongoing, we'll talk about. And I did, you know, we did a whole episode on kind of how I plan to spend my early retirement, and those are the things that are going to create enduring happiness, and how I design and structure my life going forward is going to be what makes me happy. The destination and the arrival at early retirement is not going to make me happy, right? And it didn't. There wasn't just a magical moment where I was like, okay, I'm now happy all the time and there's no struggles in life. And you know what I mean? Like that is the arrival fallacy at play. Okay, I'll give you another example that I think is fascinating. And just a very personal example, right? So my ex-husband, when we got divorced and we were kind of, you know, like talking through things, he explained that he had kind of kept going through these points where he was unhappy in our marriage. And then, but he felt like when he arrived, like when we finished a big remodel that we were doing on our house, that he thought like, oh, well, I'm unhappy, but I don't know why. And that'll make me happy. Right. And he kept hitting these points having this view of like, well, when I finish the remodel, when I, you know, take this new job, whatever it is, I'll be happy when that comes. And that'll be a great, you know, moment in life and all these things. And he was slowly realizing when each of those things arrived that wasn't creating enduring happiness, and that there was something else that was not right in his life. Right. And by the way, I am very sensitive about talking about other people and like private matters on this show, Mike. And so for everybody who's like concerned, I talked to my ex-husband and was like, are you cool with me using that as an example? Here's what we're doing an episode on. And he was fine with me sharing that example. And then also he actually suggested this video that we're going to talk about later, because he's the one that suggested the video and was like, oh, you should. He was like, we were like, I was explaining what we were talking about. And he was, you know, giving some other examples and just saying, yeah, he's like realized this just in general in life. And so, you know, those are some like personal examples to me. Mike, I love to hear like what examples you have or just kind of your thoughts on this.
You know, when you come up with a show topic and it's like a very personal one and you share your feelings, I often find myself struggling to give examples. And what I just realized is that it's not that like I don't have human emotions. It's that like the things I struggle with in life are different from the things you struggle with in life. And so I don't really have, I could not think of any major arrival fallacy that I have come across in my life. I have them in micro examples all the time. Like, you know, if I go to this social event, I will enjoy it. And then I get there and I'm like, no, I knew my personality was not the type that like, this is not enjoyable.
That's a different arrival fallacy.
Yeah. But like it's it. Like, no, it is in a micro scale, not a macro scale. I think I do very well with the macro scale items. One of the only example I could really give would be, I was very eager to be promoted to director once I got into my corporate job, because the difference between director and manager is like a substantial jump, like the levels below that and level above that. No, in responsibilities. Oh, well, okay. And in pay, but primarily in responsibilities. And how you are viewed within the company and what authority you are given. And so I was very focused on being promoted to director. But it was because I knew that the types of responsibilities that directors had would make me happier. And it turned out to be true. Like managing a team, leading strategy, those things have had sustained happiness for me since becoming a director a long time ago.
Because they're fulfilling, right?
Like yeah, they're fulfilling.
There's things that I think are very fulfilling about leading a team.
But, you know, I think a lot of people would have gotten to director and said, all right, I'm going to push as aggressively or even more aggressively to become a vice president because what I like about being a director, I will get more of as a vice president. And I think the difference for me is that I recognized at the time and still recognize that, like, there's some shit that comes with going up the ladder and I do not want that. And I know it will not make me happy. Yeah. So I stopped pursuing it. As soon as I became a director, I stopped pursuing getting promoted at all.
That is a great example. And I forgot about that. You and I have had discussions about this, just about your aspirations and you being good where you were at. And I'm a good example of that too, in the sense of I can relate to, you know, when I got to the VP level, which at our company was, you know, it's different at every company, but it was one level above or kind of two levels above director. There was a time when I also had ambitions of going to the next level, which is a senior vice president. That next level is significantly more between a VP and an SVP, significantly more money, probably double. But crazy amounts of travel, significantly more like lack of work-life balance, right? However you want to word that. You were just like that much more kind of tied up and in a level of like bureaucracy and just not having like autonomy in many ways over your time and your life. And at one point in my life, I wanted it and I eventually was like, not worth it. It's not worth the extra money. It's not worth the incremental, you know, benefits that, which really are just money, honestly, at that point. I already lead big teams. I already have, you know, the opportunity to like impact people's careers and lives and other things. And so I can just very much relate. And that's a great example of like, you know, it's not all things you arrive at that don't create some level of, you know, enduring happiness. But a lot of them don't. And I think, you know, some other examples that are kind of common are the idea of things that require like a lot of schooling, kind of like, I mean, similar to the promotion idea of like, you got to put in a lot of commitment with a company to get promoted and keep getting promoted. So when you want to become a doctor or a lawyer, which are very respected professions, it requires a lot of schooling, like 8-10 plus years often. And people often believe once they finish that journey, they're going to be so happy, right? I'm going to be out of medical school. I'm going to be out of law school. I've put all this work in. But the percentages of burnout and unhappiness in those fields are incredibly high, right? And there's a lot of people that burn out. There's a lot of like what's called chronic vocational fatigue. There's a lot of severe depression. There's a lot of people that leave, particularly like the legal field. And so there's a lot of like stats and information around it. But that's another good example of the arrival fallacy.
And if we translate all of that into personal finance and the spending of money, you can very easily see this connection with lifestyle inflation. Like if you live in a 3-bedroom house, if you just had that 4-bedroom house, you'd have enough space, your family
would
get along.
I'd have enduring happiness.
You'd have enduring happiness. But then like, oh, you know, I have the 4-bedroom, but I really need a pool. Like if I had a pool and my kids could play in the backyard, that would make my life a lot better. And you can see how this goes on. And if you're constantly trying to purchase your way towards happiness, you're never going to reach it because there's always going to be something else that you're missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is like, I don't know if they're if you combine the arrival fallacy with lifestyle inflation, or they're like the same concept essentially.
Yeah. Right? Lifestyle inflation is what
is how the arrival fallacy like plays out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Financially and how you spend money. Yeah. Yeah. And so we do a whole episode on lifestyle inflation in episode 144, if you want to check it out. And it's one of my favorite topics. So I would highly recommend.
Oh yeah. Love it.
I say favorite topics because that's the thing. If you can recognize that pattern and look, and like we were saying, combine it with understanding the arrival fallacy, it can dramatically change your finances, but your happiness. And I'm not even equating finances to happiness. Like they change for different reasons in different ways. But it can have like you realizing that stuff and constantly inflating that stuff in your life doesn't create enduring happiness is so critical to finding happiness, which we're about to segue to. And it also happens to save you an incredible amount of money. So it's just, it is like one of the things that I think you and I, Mike, both care about a lot and are just very passionate about. Care deeply about. So on that point, you know, if like we're asking the question, right, does the arrival fallacy affect your happiness? Like, yeah, it probably does. It probably is in different ways, right? So again, we shared some personal examples. And what we really want to now shift to is how do you leverage your awareness of the arrival fallacy to improve your happiness? And there are some very specific things that you can do to take this understanding and shift it into actual things that will make you happier in your life. But the first thing really is, like a lot of things, just understanding the concept.
And as we go through this list, keep in mind that arrival fallacy can be both macro items, like Maggie had some examples on, and micro items. And chances are you have both of these. And so keep that context in mind as we're going through this list. I think the first thing at the highest level is to identify the core issue you believe is making you less happy or unfulfilled, and make sure that the goal truly corrects that. Because correcting a problem leads to sustained happiness. But I think a lot of people would just go through and, like, you know, the house example I gave. Like, if you and your spouse are no longer in love, adding an extra bedroom does not, like, solve that problem. They're completely disconnected things. And so you really have to be honest with yourself about what problem you are trying to solve.
Yeah, that is a great point. And I like the way you were saying, like, when there actually is a problem you need to correct, that might create some lasting happiness, right? And I say that, you know, a similar point is, like, we're not trying to imply that working towards a goal doesn't create some happiness. We're just saying it's not going to create enduring happiness, which is the goal in life, is that you want long lasting, and you want to design your life to create long lasting, enduring happiness. And that, I think, is your kind of starter point, Mike.
And Maggie, let me just, maybe it was just the, maybe you didn't mean to say it this way, but working towards a goal could in fact have lasting happiness. It doesn't guarantee that you would have happiness. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah, exactly. And and I think the arrival fallacy itself is people believe that usually it doesn't create, like, a goal will not create long lasting happiness, enduring happiness. A goal. That's my point. Mm-hmm. One single goal. It's tons of these goals, which we'll talk about, right? And it's designing a life that includes certain elements that creates enduring happiness. A single goal could rarely ever, like, marrying the right person does not create enduring happiness, right? You could be with the perfect person for you, but you still need to make sure that all these other things in your life are lined up to create enduring happiness. That person alone can't create it, and that marriage alone doesn't create it. Okay, so some of these more kind of specific tactical things. One of the first ones is, do your research, know what you're getting into, talk to other people. So to use some specific examples on the early retirement thing, I went to this Camp Phi event with the specific intent to meet other people in the community that had been through this and have been on this journey. I've read a ton of books. I've watched a ton of YouTube videos. I listened to so many podcasts on this topic. And I knew from all of these things that it takes a significant amount of time to adjust, and that there's a lot of weird feelings that come up in this transition of early retirement. So I had done my research and I knew it. So when I was hitting all these feelings, I wasn't freaking out. When I was feeling like, oh, how come I don't have just, like, magical happiness day two? You know, how come I'm still stressed about stuff I used to get stressed about? Doing my research in that case gave me the information I knew to adjust my expectations, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I was in my head a lot about stuff, but I wasn't freaking out about it. I wasn't like, I knew this was expected because I heard from so many people it's going to take 12 to 18 months for you to get into a groove of your new lifestyle and for you to feel normal again and for you to detox from this environment of everybody, you know, setting your goals for you and telling you what to do every day and shifting to, you know, a life on your own terms. And, you know, another example of doing your own research is like, you know, when you're becoming a doctor, if you're signing up for, you know, 10 years of schooling, like understand the stats around like if people enjoy that career field, right? Before you start going into it. And so just do your research. And then I think what goes along with that, I'm going to do this just to make the point and then let you can do however many you want. I think what goes along with that is adjust your expectations based on that research you have done. So go in eyes wide open, as many people say, and don't tell yourself that you're going to be so happy when XYZ happens. It's not an arrival fallacy if you know what you're getting into and you have adjusted your expectations so you're not expecting immediate and lasting happiness from something that you did, right? You having expectations that are too high is what can create the unhappiness or like depression and other things or the feelings of malaise that can come from the arrival fallacy. But when you've done your research and you've adjusted your expectations, that alone can flip the script on the whole spirit of the arrival fallacy, along with some of the other things we'll talk about.
One of the problems that I think happens to people is that they set one singular goal that is so huge and takes them so long, it doesn't give them a chance to reflect about the journey and what they are trying to achieve and what's really making them happy. And so, you know, we've all heard the term, you know, life's about the journey, not the destination, or something along those lines. And it is also about setting smaller goals to surround your major goals. And so if your primary goal, your major goal is retiring early, make sure that you have a number of smaller goals leading up to it and a number of smaller goals past that. Because as you achieve goals and as you grow, you might end up changing the direction of your major goals. But even if that doesn't change, you will have this sustained pattern of achievement, which, you know, as you mentioned, has like the dopamine hit, it keeps you engaged. And so making sure that you are constantly working towards something is a great way to not only increase the fulfillment of your life, but also avoid that you have taken a misdirection in setting your major goals and having this arrival fallacy when you get there.
Yeah. And yeah, it is the appreciating that happiness is your life journey. It's not a destination, right? And that's what we were talking about at the very beginning. It's just to me, it's the big like aha and insight here to walk away with. Another very tactical thing you can do is to envision your future. So ask yourself what you'll do after you reach a certain goal that will continue to make you happy, right? So if you're going to medical school and to become a doctor, you know, think about how you're going to establish a practice that will make you happy. And that, you know, you may say, hey, I want to do family practice or I want to do pediatrics because that's going to make me feel very fulfilled. And I want to help people and I want to volunteer once a week at a clinic, a free clinic, whatever it is. But envisioning that future and thinking about the next steps in that future, I think are incredibly important to create that ongoing, enduring happiness. And again, recognizing that the arrival fallacy of me getting to one thing will not create happiness, but me envisioning the additional incremental pieces of the journey that will make me happy are important. And an early retirement example of this from me is, you know, we did in episode 140, we talked about how I envisioned and planned to spend my early retirement, right? And I had all these goals that I am focusing on, and I'm finding those are the things that are creating happiness. Me sitting around and doing nothing all day is not creating any happiness in my life. I mean, it's like nice to relax a little bit, but my thing, what I am observing, the things that are making me happy are, I just had someone who needed help on their resume. Like I said I want to be around to help my friends and family with things and to have time to do that quickly and effectively for them and not be like, oh, I'm like in a couple weeks and then I've forgotten about it and I didn't really help them in the moment when they needed it. So me helping friends and family, me spending more time in my community and volunteering, which I've been doing a lot of, particularly at my kids' school,
Baking sourdough bread.
Making sourdough bread, learning how to do new things and make things for myself was a big thing on my goals and intention list of how I envision spending this time. And those are the things that are making me happy. Again, me just having time to like do nothing, it's not making me happy, right? It's finding other things that I want to invest my time and energy in that are making me happy.
There's really like two more things that we want to touch on, but they're important. And I think the first thing is that this stuff takes time. And as you are setting goals and establishing the life journey for yourself, you have to be patient. Because one of the things that can happen, I think specifically with financial independence, you know, to bring it specifically to the topic of this podcast, is that some people think that it's possible to do very quickly, or they find a way that they think they have achieved it very quickly and find out that they have created some major gaps in their life. And so anything worth doing is going to be hard and it's going to be time consuming. And so in addition to setting goals and structuring these goals throughout your life, also make sure that you have the right time frame, because it's going to take a long time to get it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of someone telling me, well, everybody telling me it was going to take 12 to 18 to 24 months to even just get through this transition, right? And feel kind of normal and like a real human again. It just takes time, and you got to be patient and you got to experience the journey, right? Okay. And so the last point we want to make, this is the thing that I mentioned, my ex-husband actually recommended this video when I was just talking about this concept. Is there's this video that the Duke basketball, the head women's basketball coach, her name's Kara Lawson, was giving to her players. And she gives like all these really like inspirational, pithy speeches, which is one of the things I love about sports and coaching and like just getting people, you know, fired up and motivated. And the video is called Handle Hard Better. And you can Google it and it'll come up, but we'll put a link in the show notes also. And it's a great video. It's only like 2.5 or 3 minutes long. And her point is, she's kind of saying like, life will never get easier. Like life is hard. Life will never get easier. What happens is that you learn how to handle hard better. So what happens is you become someone who handles hard stuff better, not someone who is waiting for and expecting things to be easy. Right. And I think understanding the arrival fallacy helps you to handle hard better, because when you get somewhere, and back to the sort of like adjust your expectations, when you get somewhere and you realize that there's still hard, like I've gotten to early retirement, I still have to deal with hard stuff in my life. Right. It doesn't change. It actually in some ways is harder because I think about it differently, because I'm like, I don't have a paycheck coming in anymore. Right. I still have to think about it. I'm dealing with signing up for insurance for next year. It's hard. I'm getting better at handling hard better as I get older and wiser. And look, retiring early has helped me to handle hard better, because I have a little more margin in my life and I'm meditating and I'm just mentally able to handle hard better in so many ways. But I just love that concept of that, you know, life is always going to have hard in it. It's not going to be easy. There's no easy button. But what we can do is get better at handling the hard. Love it.
Yeah, it's a good speech. We'll put a link in the show notes.
You know what? That's one thing I would say about you is when you're often very calm about things, I think you handle hard well.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know how much... I don't know from before we met, I mean, which by the way, this Pat, we should recognize just for all our listeners out there. I don't think I did a social post about it. This past weekend was our 4-year anniversary of when we first met.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then I guess it took us like a year to get to the point where we were like starting to talk about doing a project together.
Like yeah. But it took like a month before we became friends and talked about money.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, you know, it only didn't take me too long to start being like, hey, you work in finance. Can you help me with my taxes? Yeah,
that's right.
I think it just took tax season.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think it actually
started in December. And then you started, by February,
you started in November. Oh, no, November. We met during the interview process. That's our four-year anniversary, right? Yes. And so, yes, you're right. That it was totally tax season. That's hilarious. Had tax season not, you know, had you started April 15th or something, I would have been friends. A whole Well, it would have been like 9 months till we became friends, you know, or I might have found someone else in that time to help me with my taxes. But yes, you, what I was going to say is before I know you, I don't know how much adversity and hardness you've had in your life. And look, the more privilege you have in your life, which we've both had a good, decent amount of, the less hard is often thrown at you. But either way, when I see things get thrown at you, Mike, and when I see something unexpected happen or whatever, like you handle it quite calmly and well and very cerebrally, if that makes, is that the right word?
Yeah, sure.
That even is a word. And yeah, so I think that is a nice way to wrap this up. We can jump to our takeaways.
All right. First takeaway is that happiness is a journey, not a destination.
Number two, invest in that journey and designing your life to optimize what truly makes you happy. And I'm going to give a quick plug on that, Mike.
Okay.
You know, I can never get through these quickly.
Yeah, you can never do it.
On the first two, I'm going to give a shout out to the Pioneers, who we're actually going to have on the show in a few weeks, because their big thing is that it's about the journey, not the destination. I love it. We've had them on the show really early on in our podcast. So we're going to talk about with them designing a life that you love and don't even have to retire from, right? Or don't want to retire from. And I just think that the topic we're talking about today ties nicely into what we're going to talk about with the Pioneers, who are just big proponents of this approach in life.
And our third and final takeaway, that money or early retirement or whatever the goal is, won't magically make you happy. But it can give you the freedom to, as you just mentioned, design a life filled with more of the things that do make you happy. All right, Maggie, I enjoyed talking about our feelings.
Mike, I always love a show that gets you into your feelings. And I just like these more philosophical topics lately also. So if you ever have feedback, we sometimes do more like technical financial topics. And we sometimes do these more kind of philosophical, how to be happy and think about money and have the right relationship with it. And I'm a big fan of both of them in many ways, but definitely I lean, you lean more technical, Mike. I lean more philosophical.
Yeah.
Which is why we make such a great combo.
That's right.
Okay. Let's make this whole show a big thankful sandwich and we can rethank people. Happy. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving week. We hope you get to spend some good time with friends and family. And like we said at the very beginning, we are very thankful for all of you. And you know what we'd be really thankful for, Mike? Is if you would leave
us on Apple Podcasts?
Review. Yes.
We would
if you
that.
Guys could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You got to go to Apple Podcasts to do it. A written review is super helpful. If you love the show, we would love for you to go and leave us a review. It helps other people find our podcast. We purposely keep this ad free and don't monetize this in a way to just make it a like easy, enjoyable experience for all of you guys. But we do really appreciate if you can leave us a review.
I think one more written review would finally make us happy, Maggie.
It would. That actually is a great point. Not one, but if we could get to...
If we get like 10 20, more, I'd be happy.
If we could get 20 reviews Thanksgiving week, I'll be happy.
Well, enduringly
in
happy.
Enduring, long-lasting. I will forever be happy. I mean, 25 and imagine.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Imagine the things that could happen. Jeez, I don't know if I'm ready for that level of happiness in my life. Okay, we're half joking. Yep. Now I would be like, it'd be so cool to get 20
it would be cool.
in 1 week.
We would be happy for a short period of time.
I would be happy for the entire week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, me too.
Just to put that on the record. Okay, thank you guys for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you have heard, like we just said, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving week, Mike.
Ditto.
Bye.
Bye.